Hey, Stacey Vanek Smith here. And today we are replaying an episode I originally reported back in 2015 about recycling. A lot has changed in the world of recycling since then, so please stay tuned. We will have an update for you at the end of the show. A little while back, engineers at MIT built these really small electronic tracking devices.
The way it looks like is almost like a little tag. Imagine just 1 inch by half an inch and very, very thin.
This is Carlo Rotti, who ran the project. They wanted to track something that is all around us, but that is otherwise pretty invisible.
Trash. Yes, trash, garbage.
They did this in Seattle, and they asked residents to bring in a piece of trash, and people did.
Anything from an old cell phone to fluorescent lights to banana peels.
You put a tracker on a banana peel?
Of course.
People brought all kinds of stuff.
Somebody came to us with a teddy bear, you know, and she told us that was a teddy bear she's been having all of her life, but actually now she had to throw it away. Her boyfriend was telling her, but she wanted to know where the teddy bear would end up. So she came and we put a little tag on the teddy bear.
I think you throw out the boyfriend, not the teddy bear, in that situation. But anyway,
I am 1,000% with you.
They threw all this stuff out and they watched where it went. A lot of the trash ended up getting recycled. And it made these surprisingly long trips, like across the country. Sometimes you could see an item go dot, 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 dot to a port, and then dot, 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 dot out to sea.
You know, it was amazing to see how many thousands of miles some things travel.
I've been looking into the recycling business, and it's amazing. A lot of our plastic gets shipped to China, where it gets turned into toothbrushes and carpet and fleece jackets.
Which then gets sold back to us.
And a lot of our shredded documents get sent to Mexico, where they're turned into paper towels and tissue papers.
And toilet paper.
I love that our shredded documents get turned into toilet paper.
So some of the stuff this MIT project tracked got recycled, but other stuff got thrown out. Those items didn't go so far. A lot of them ended up with a short trip to a landfill. What is recyclable and what is trash? Turns out there's an economic line between the two. It's a line that can move around a lot.
One day it's profitable to recycle a bottle, and the next day some global economic number changes, and that same bottle is trash. Hello and welcome to Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm David Kestenbaum. That line between trash and recycling is moving around a lot these days for a bunch of totally crazy reasons. It's a really tough time to be a recycler.
Support for Planet Money and the following message come from TD Ameritrade. Like the economy, investing can seem complicated until it's explained in simpler terms. That's how TD Ameritrade approaches investing, by learning more about you and your goals before crafting a plan. It's that simple. To schedule a complimentary goal planning session today, visit tdameritrade.com/podcast.
Hey, this is Stretch Armstrong.
And this is Bobbito Garcia, the hosts of What's Good.
We're back with a brand new season.
We've got Erykah Badu, Lenny Kravitz, Black Thought, and more.
You'll hear B-side stories from A-list guests. Subscribe now.
Every Thursday, I do what a lot of people probably do. I haul a blue bin of my recycling out to the street to be taken away.
What's in your bin?
Oh, newspapers and yogurt containers and soda bottles, things like that.
Like New York Daily News and full-fat yogurt?
More like Wall Street Journal and the no-fat yogurt.
So for this story, you got to see where it actually went.
I followed my yogurt container and Wall Street Journal to see who picks it up, where it goes, and the business behind it. It goes to another part of Brooklyn. So a producer here, Fia Benin, and I went to check it out. And we had to go under a very shady-looking highway overpass and through this abandoned warehouse district area.
It's a cold day. We're walking up to a guard booth. It's kind of intense security. The river's totally frozen. You can see IKEA.
Look over there.
Oh, my gosh. Cranes. Bales of garbage. We're definitely here. This kind of looks like where you would dump a body.
Stacey, what's your plan?
A man comes toward us. He's tall. He has red hair. He sort of looks like he just walked out of an L.L. Bean catalog. His name is Tom Outerbridge.
Hello.
Hi, are you Tom?
Yes.
Is this your dog?
Stacey, you love dogs.
It's true. I do have a soft spot. Tom runs this place, and it's one of many operated by a company called Sims Recycling Solutions. And every hour, this one place processes 14,000 pounds of yogurt containers and Pepsi cans and Wall Street Journals. And I found this weirdly exciting.
My garbage comes here. Or my recycling. Sorry.
Yeah, your
metal. Is that bad to call it garbage?
Yeah. Well, we don't call it garbage because we're not really in the garbage business. I mean, it's that people make that mistake all the time.
Sorry.
It's okay.
So awkward.
I know, it was. Tom, you can kind of tell David is sort of a quiet guy. He kept turning away from my microphone. And he got into recycling because he wanted to do something to help the environment. But he's the first person to tell me that recycling is a business.
It's actually a huge business. What did you say? It's like hundreds of billions or something?
Yeah, it's $100 billion, yeah.
So you have to think about this as a business to understand the problems the recycling business is having, right? For it to make sense for him to recycle something, he has to be able to make a profit at it. If he can, then that thing is recyclable. If he can't, then it's trash. Trash and recycling, those are really economic ideas.
Yeah, I mean, this place, it costs a lot to run. Tom shows me around. He takes me to this enormous machine called the Liberator.
Because it liberates the various valuable pieces of recycling?
Exactly. There are just conveyor belts everywhere going in every direction. They're going in and out of these electronic sorting machines. It's sort of like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, except for garbage.
Not garbage, recycling.
Oh, right, yes.
So this is just the beginning of the sorting system here. We use magnets to pull out metal. We use ballistic separators to separate paper and plastic bags from bottles.
Tom tells me what is trash and what's recycling has been changing a lot lately. He shows me this one thing that's right on the border between trash and recyclables. It's plastic bags. There's a conveyor belt right in front of us full of plastic bags. It's just a river of them.
And then we've got like bubble wrap and a Target bag and a Dunkin' Donuts bag.
Plastic bags can be a valuable commodity. Tom could sell them to clients in Asia, and they would use them to make toothbrushes and carpet and coffee makers and things like that. But recently, plastic bags have not been selling very well. Tom can't get a good price for them.
Plastic prices are off almost 50% in the past 6 months.
Whoa, that's a lot.
No, it's huge.
The reason for this, Stacey, I would not have guessed it.
In the plastics business, it is primarily, I would say, due to the drop in oil prices.
Oil. So oil seems like something maybe totally unrelated, but of course, plastic bags are a petroleum product. They're made from oil. So if oil gets cheap, that means it's cheap to make fresh plastic. So if you're in the business of making toothbrushes, it's cheaper to buy freshly made plastic than it is to buy recycled plastic, at least recycled plastic from plastic bags.
Yeah, this is especially true for plastic bags because they need a lot of processing before you can use the plastic in them. They have to be washed, sometimes many times, and they also tend to get stuck in machine gears and gum up the works. So it costs a lot of money to recycle a plastic bag.
The largest recycler in the country, a company called Waste Management, recently gave up on recycling plastic bags altogether. They just couldn't make money at it. Tom in Brooklyn says he is still trying to make it work. But it's tough.
This is really sort of the bottom of the barrel in terms of the plastics market. The value of it is relatively low, which means we can't afford to put a lot of time and money into trying to recycle it.
And so then what happens to the plastic bags if you can't sell them?
Well, certainly you can get to the point where these are going to the landfill. I mean, these are sort of borderline.
Tom says he's not having any trouble selling higher quality plastic, things like detergent bottles and soda bottles, but the price for those has dropped in half too.
All right, so that's the misery on the plastic side of things. There is also great unhappiness in this other part of the recycling business that is actually a huge part of the market. It accounts for something like 90% of our recycled exports. Paper.
Tom takes me to another part of the processing plant, and there are pizza boxes and office paper and cereal boxes here.
This is your milk cartons.
Oh, yeah.
And milk and juice cartons.
Is this high quality or low quality?
This is actually very high quality, surprisingly. You wouldn't know it necessarily. But this we sell to paper mills.
We're the Saudi Arabia of recovered paper.
That is Bill Moore. He runs a consulting firm that advises recycling companies. And to understand the paper problem, you need to know one key thing. Most of our used paper gets sold to one place, one very big place.
China is the 800-pound gorilla when it comes to using recovered paper. They don't have many trees, softwood trees, so all their capacity to make boxes and newspapers all 100% recycled fiber.
In normal times, this is a very happy relationship.
Newspaper that you read, if you still read a hard copy newspaper, which
less people
do. If you put that in your recycling bin, 6 weeks later, someone in China could read their newspaper on the same fiber.
The problem is that recently China has not been buying as much of our paper. They've been getting a lot of it from Europe instead. And the reason is the most boring thing you can imagine. International currency fluctuations. Basically, the dollar has been getting stronger, the euro has been getting weaker, which means U.S. recycled paper is more expensive than European recycled paper if you're China looking out there deciding where to buy from.
Tom Outerbridge in Brooklyn told me he's been on the phone a lot lately with clients in China, cutting all these deals that he does not want to cut. In good days, a ton of paper sells for about $150. And these days, Tom says, it's selling for less than half that, like $50 or $60 for a ton. And buyers are literally nickeling and diming him on this. Like, can you sell it for 10 cents less? Can you sell it for 5 cents less?
5-10 cents can make a difference. You're negotiating around a penny or a half penny a pound. That's really where you're negotiating.
To make things worse for Tom, China has also recently started recycling a lot of its own trash. So that means they don't need as much American office paper and milk cartons so much anymore. Add all this up, and it's a hard time to be a recycler.
David Steiner is the CEO of Waste Management. It's the largest recycling company in the country.
I don't think crisis is too strong of a word to say that you're seeing a crisis in the recycling industry throughout the United States.
So you're seeing recycling companies, smaller recycling companies, go out of business?
Left and right. You really are.
Recycling exports have actually started to drop a little bit. But Steiner thinks this could continue as prices drop and private companies stop being able to make money recycling.
Some states like California have policies that mandate recycling. Steiner says in those cases, the extra costs are going to fall on taxpayers.
Other places are just recycling less stuff. Lots of places have given up on plastic bags. Waste Management is shutting down some of its less profitable plants.
Tom Outerbridge, the guy who recycles your yogurt containers and newspapers, says the recycling business has always had its good years and its bad years. This just feels like a particularly bad stretch. His profit margins are getting thinner and thinner, and he doesn't want to send stuff to landfills.
Has that ever happened before?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, that's our worst case scenario. It's from environmentally and also for the business.
Tom does not want to give up, not even on plastic bags. He's hired someone called a picker to stand at the plastic bag conveyor belt and pull out contaminants and bad plastic bags so only the good ones get through so he can sell them for a higher price. The hope is that he can use this to move the line a little bit between trash and recycling.
It'd be so much easier if the price of oil just went up a bit.
I don't know if that's an easier way, but as you know, Tom has no control over global oil prices.
Stacey, you want to do the public service announcement?
Oh, yes. You can't recycle bowling balls. Apparently, in Brooklyn, a lot of people try. Tom has to pick them out. He keeps them in his office. He has a whole collection of them.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Microsoft Surface, introducing the Surface Go, the smallest Microsoft Surface ever. It's just over 1 pound and has a 10-inch screen. The new Surface Go has the performance of a laptop, but with the portability of a tablet.
Our Up First team goes to work while you are sleeping. That way, you wake up to the freshest take on the day's news. It's the 10-minute-ish morning news podcast from NPR. Listen to Up First on the NPR One app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, it is Stacy from The Present Day, and a lot has been changing in the world of recycling. Namely, China decided it did not want to take the world's recyclables anymore. And so, in January, China implemented something called the National Sword Policy, which is essentially a ban on foreign paper and plastic. This was a huge deal for the recycling industry, because before this, China recycled about half the world's paper and plastic products. When I heard about this new policy, of course, I thought of Tom Outerbridge. He's made a whole business of selling paper and plastic to China, and I thought surely his world must be totally upside down.
Portions of the world are upside down.
First, plastic. So Tom says the ban on plastic has not really affected him. He had already stopped sending plastic to China a few years ago because of a different Chinese policy called the Green Fence. And he started selling to domestic buyers. But on the paper side of things, it's a bit more complicated because Tom was still sending paper to China. So now he's looking for alternative places to ship it. He says they've rerouted their paper to other Southeast Asian countries and to domestic buyers. But that comes with a cost.
Paper has a negative value today, meaning you don't get paid for it. You pay someone to take it.
Tom is paying someone to take his paper. That is cheaper than sending it to a landfill. But Tom is not worried. He says he trusts that everything will sort itself out.
I mean, ultimately, the materials that we're talking about haven't lost their inherent value. What you have is just a very abrupt disruption to the marketplace. And so until the infrastructure can reestablish itself, you have some, you know, very challenging pricing.
We post a link to every episode of Planet Money on Facebook. And if you have thoughts on today's show, please leave a comment on the post. We are also on Instagram. That's right. We are officially hip. You can follow us. We are at Planet Money. Today's rerun was produced by Aviva de Kornfeld. The episode was originally produced by Nadia Wilson. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith. Thanks for listening.